You have your Bible, turn with us tonight to Ephesians chapter 2. Just going to go ahead and begin reading at verse 8 tonight. The Bible says in verse 8 of Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and it not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember," now get this, listen carefully, "wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But," ain't you glad for the buts in the Word of God? "But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." I want to preach tonight. If God will be my help for just a few minutes, I'll try, like I say, not to be too long. But I want to preach just a little while on this thought. Look at me now. Amen? Look at me now. Praise the Lord. As the Bible says, Paul says here, he said, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and it not of yourself, but it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are created, man. We are created in Christ Jesus." So we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. What? Those good works. Amen. Which is a workmanship in Christ Jesus because of Him that lives in us. That's made the difference. Praise the Lord. Ain't you glad for that? Amen. It's not me anymore that's doing the work. It's Him. It's Christ in me. Paul said in Colossians 2:17, and it's Christ in me. That's my hope of glory. The only way I'm going to get there is because what He's done in me. Because He lives large in my life. Amen. Yeah, pray good. If the only way you're going to get there, the only way you're going to be that workmanship that God's got, that He has planned on, that He's got for good works, that He ordained for the foundation world, is through the light Lord Jesus Christ. But it blesses my heart when I get this and I begin to see that He's talking about the Gentiles, those that's in the flesh, and He begins to speak of a time, and He begins to call to remembrance some things in our life. He said, if we could remember where we used to be, if we could remember what we used to be, and if we could remember how we used to be, praise God, we could run laps for who we are now. Amen. I thank God. You say, "Well, preacher, you perfect?" Not by a long shot. Ask my wife. I'm not perfect yet, but praise God, I'm running after one who is. Praise the Lord, I'm following Jesus, the precious Lamb of God, who is perfect in every way, and I'm just following Him. Amen. Praise God, looking for an entrance into that glorious city. Praise God, it's builder and maker's God. I'm not putting no roots down here. Praise God, I'm looking for another place. Glory to God. I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker's God. Amen. I ain't satisfied, brother, in this old world. You say, "Well, preacher, we ought to be satisfied. The Bible says, be ye content with that." Oh, I'm content. I don't need a whole lot, praise God, as long as I got Jesus. Amen. He's the most important part. I can go for weeks at a time without anything else. Amen. You give me a little bite of groceries, praise God, and a roof over my head, and praise God, I'm content. I don't need a whole lot. But praise God, I need Jesus every day. I need Him as the Lord in my life. I need His manifestation. I need to feel His presence. I need to have that walk with Him. Praise God, that's what makes me different. I'm not that man that I used to be. Look at me now, and you might see I'm not that man that I used to be. Praise the Lord. I'm glad I can say that today. Amen. Because I'm somebody, praise God, going somewhere. I've got a purpose in my heart tonight to serve a living Savior. I purposed in my heart some 13, 14 years ago. I don't remember for sure if it's 13 or 14 now, but I purposed in my heart. Hello, at Cold Cove Independent Missionary Baptist Church. Fell on my face before Holy God. And I said, Lord, help me to do right. Lord, help me to be a servant unto Thee that I might be pleasing in Your sight. Help me to be made small that You would be made large. And boy, I tell you, God began to... this old flesh is rose up a whole bunch of times. This old flesh and this old man that I am don't like it, praise God, in this being subjection of anything. But I thank God, praise God, that I have a Lord Jesus that's living in my soul. Amen. Directing my life. And He said if I'd submit myself to Him, He said that He'd come in and He would help me to resist the devil. Amen. And I might have victory. And victory so sweet. But He says, remember how you used to be. That at the time you were without Christ. That at that time you were without Christ. When I was in my, when we were in the world doing our own thing, we did not have Jesus. I want to say this morning, if you're lost this morning, if you've never accepted Jesus, you're lost, you don't have Jesus. You don't have Him. Amen. You do not have, you don't have no hope. You're hopeless. Amen. Praise God. You're helpless. You have no direction. Amen. You say, well, preacher, I know where I'm going. I know what I want to be. I know what I want to do. Yeah. That's what Satan said. He said, I know what I'm going to do. But I'm telling you, it's not about us pleasing us tonight. It's about us pleasing the Heavenly Father. Amen. It's about establishing a new relationship with the God of glory. It's about looking into the depths of our soul and not seeing, pray God, what we want to see, but seeing that man that we are. Amen. He said, hey, listen, said it's that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. He said, you didn't have any promise of an inheritance. See, at least Israel had a promise if they followed God that they had an inheritance. But He said, hey, you were alienated from the promises and you were alienated from God. You had no hope. He said, having no hope and without God in the world. Said you were out there, praise God, basically on your own. The world was, hey, if you're without Christ, praise God, you're on your own. You're just flipping in this world trying to make your way through and you don't have no hope. You don't have no direction and no way and no path to follow. That's what's wrong with the world, praise God. We're trying to make our own path. Amen. There's so many in the world today that's trying to make their own path. But the sad part is, it's not only affecting you, but it's affecting everyone around you when we try to make our own path. Because the path, Lord Jesus, it's a straight path. The Bible said it's a narrow path, and He said that broad path is a road of destruction. But He said when we choose to make our own path and don't follow in the path of the Lord, we go into error. We go in the wrong direction. But praise God, God says, He gives us this verse in verse 13. And I won't focus on this for just a few minutes of time. If God will be my help and we'll go to the house. But I want to preach on this. Just look at me now. Because of what God has done for me. I want you to just think about yourself now and what God has already done for you. I want you to think about yourself now and what God wants to do for you. Amen. If we could realize in our mind, praise God, that we're a work in progress. There's none of us perfect yet, but we're a work in progress. And God is He deals in perfection. Hey, well, He's not going to let you finish up till you're perfect. When we enter into the portals of glory, we will be perfect. We'll be in perfection. We'll never attain to it in this life because of the flesh that we live. But Paul said that we can strive for perfection. We can strive in the path of perfection with the help of the Lord. But notice what God says in verse 13. He tells us what we were. He said we were far off. He said we was a. He said we were at a guilty distance from God. He said that's what we were. I want to say the world today is a guilty distance from God. And they're not looking around to see where they can find Him. The Bible says that they're not seeking for Him. They're looking for everything else. They're looking for drugs and alcohol and satisfaction of the flesh. Amen. Why they're far off. They're looking for something that'll satisfy their appetite. But I want to say, praise God, while they're far off and they're alienated from God, there'll be no satisfaction. Amen. Afar off. You can't be satisfied afar off. You can't be satisfied away from God. You say, how do you know, preacher? Because I'm like some of the folks here, praise God. When I have to miss a service or two, praise God, I can feel that I'm not close to the Lord. I can feel, praise God, that there's something missing in my soul. I need that daily feeling. I need that closeness of the Lord. I need that closeness of God's people. I hear you saying, and I know what the devil's running through your mind. You say, well, preacher, you're just needy. I don't need all that stuff. Yes, you do. You need a close relationship with the Lord. If you're far off tonight, praise God, you don't have nobody to help you. There's an alienation from those that's afar off. There's no closeness. In other words, what you might say is you don't have that loving feeling. Amen? When I get away from God, when I feel myself slacking on the Lord, when I feel myself pulling back the old flesh, pulling back from the Lord, praise God, I lose that feeling, that connection with God. It's a bad feeling. I mean, I have to run to some place and get on my knees and say, Lord, please, just fill me again, Lord, to overflow and give me that closeness. I don't want to be that one that's afar off. But that's where we were in our relationship with God. The Bible tells us that we were far off. We were so far down the road, some of us, that we looked around and we couldn't figure out how to get back home. You ever been there? You ever been so far off, so far down, praise God, you'd burned so many bridges that you couldn't think about how to get back and get back to a place of safety and security. You remember what it used to be like to be at home with mama, be at home with daddy? Didn't have to worry about things. Boy, you youngins got it made. Boy, you ought to appreciate your mom and daddy. You ought to love them. You ought to tell them you love them. You ought to listen to them and respect them because you've got it made. Amen. You got a mama and a daddy that love you. You got a mom and daddy that's nurturing, that care for you. Amen. When you're far off, praise God, you don't have that. I want to say this morning, listen to me, young people. Look at me just a minute. You can push mom and daddy away and you can alienate yourself from the very ones that love you and want to help you. Amen? We can do that with our loved ones. We can do it with our spouses. Amen? We can push them afar off and where we don't have that relationship no more. And we better not isolate ourselves from the ones that might be able to help us someday. Amen. But the Bible says here that where we were, that we were far off. Amen. We were a long ways from God. And we had no idea how to get back. You ever been there? Oh boy, I know, said one time. He said, yeah, said, my buddies, we take care of one another. I told him, I said, son, you better be careful. The ones you run with, said all they want is your money. When your money's run out and you ain't able to buy the beer and the furnish the gas and the car, you'll be on your own. Oh no, these are my pals. I've got real friends. They're going to stick with me. Well, he called me one morning. He said, hey, what are you doing? I said, nothing right now. What's up? He said, well, I was wondering if you'd come and haul me to work. I said, well, he said, I'm out here, and they told me where he's at, and he said, I can't even get away to work. And I said, well, buddy, I said, where's your friends? He said, I can't get a hold of any of them. He said, I've been trying all morning. I can't even get one of them to haul me to work. He said, my old car's broke down. He said, I got to get to work, so I'm going to lose my job. I said, well, surely one of your buddies. He said, I can't get up with them. They won't answer the phone. Yeah. They hauled him out of they got him out a far way, a long ways away, and he's arrowed his own. Nobody to help him. Young as I want to say, praise God, when you go to pick your friends, you better pick some friends that you know is going to be there. Someone that's got some good morals and convictions, praise God, that won't leave you high and dry. Amen. If you've got worldly friends, praise God, they'll get you out there and they'll leave you high and dry with no way to get back home. They'll pick you and pluck you, praise God, till you ain't got a dime left, till you're penniless, till your car's broke down, till you're out of gas, and you'll wake up and look around and there'll be nobody there. Amen. You say, hey, you know, I said, I've seen it. Amen. I've been there, done that. But he said, David, one time said, where we were, said, we were far off. But praise God, I look at me now and say, listen, he said, where we are. Bible said, we were far off, but he said, now we're in Christ Jesus. Amen. When I decided that it was not me, praise God, that made a difference, but it was Christ in me, I begin to realize, praise God, you can look at me now and see that there's a difference. I'm not that man I used to be. Amen. Ain't you glad, praise God, when you look in a mirror now, if you're a child of God, you can look in that mirror and you say, hey, I'm not that person I used to be. Amen. In our Christian life, praise God, because of what Christ Jesus is doing, we ought to be able to look in that mirror every day of our life and say, hey, I'm not that person this morning that I was yesterday. Amen. Because of what Christ is doing in me. Because of Christ in me. Amen. Look at me now. Praise God. Who would have thought? I was talking to my mother here a while back. And she's talking about she's talking about how blessed she was. She's got two boys that's preachers and one that's a deacon. Amen. She said, I don't know how I deserve that. But praise the Lord. Thank God that He called two of her boys. And one of two to preach and one to be a deacon. Amen. To serve the living Savior, praise God. Hey, I said, I don't know, Mama, but look at me now, praise God. I'm not that little old snotty-nosed mean boy that I used to be, praise God. Lord, that was apt to smart off to Mama, praise God, but I've got that newness of life in my heart, the Lord Jesus Christ, that made me different than what I used to be. Amen. Boy, if we ever realize that way, we were far off, but now we got Jesus, and we've been made nigh. Amen. We've become close. So it's where we used to be, and it's where we are in Christ. But not only that, it's what we enjoy. Amen. He said, we are made nigh. So when we were far off, couldn't think about how to get to God, Jesus came along and He saved our soul. And praise God, said, whence He saved us, praise God, He begins to draw us close. Amen. He said in John chapter 17, the high priestly prayer, He said, Father, I desire to have them with me where I am. Amen. Jesus desires to have a close, intimate relationship with every one of us, that we are with Him where He is. Amen. He lives in the depth of our soul through the Holy Ghost of God. And if we accept Him and His person, praise God, He moves in and He takes up His abode. And He, praise God, is our mediator and our intercessor, helps us along this way. Encouraging our heart. Look at me now. Praise the Lord. Jesus came by and He took up His abode. He moved in, praise God. And I've got a close relationship with the One. Amen, that moved in. I'm not that man that I used to be. I'm enjoying the things of God. The joy that I have, praise God, is because I've been brought nigh. I was out there. Couldn't figure out how to get home. But praise God, Jesus come along one day, that great shepherd of my soul. Amen. You remember that day? Brother Rex, you remember that day when Jesus come along as a shepherd of your soul, and He said, son, you're out there far enough. It's time for you to come on in. Amen. He said, it's time to just quit going out further and further and further from God and just bow before a thrice holy God and cry out, praise God, for salvation. and allow God to become close to you. Amen. So we were far off, but we've been made nigh through the Lord Jesus Christ. He said we can have that joy now. That joy unspeakable. Amen. That God wants to give us because of that close relationship with the Lord. He said not only the joy that we have since we've been brought nigh, but He said when this joy takes place, when we have this joy, it's when we get to heaven. It'll be joy unspeakable. Amen. But thanks be to God. He said we don't have to wait till we get to heaven. He said right in verse 13, He said, but now, praise God. He said right now we have the Lord Jesus Christ and we've been brought nigh. He said and we can enjoy Him. We can have the joy of Christ in our soul now. We don't have to wait. If we're not rejoicing in the Lord, it's not His fault. It's ours. Amen. Because He said we have Jesus now. We have an opportunity to know Him now. We have an opportunity to draw to Him now. Praise God. We have the opportunity to draw nigh to Him. And He said He'd draw nigh to us. Amen. Amen. And He said if what we need to do is do it now. Amen. To draw nigh now while we have this opportunity. God's given us that opportunity. He's made that opportunity. For ages, praise God, He's been offering that opportunity to draw nigh to Him. And He says, hey, He said, don't put it off to tomorrow. Why do we always want to put off to tomorrow what we could do today? Why do we procrastinate? Do we think salvation will be better tomorrow than it is today? Why do we wait? Why don't we get it? You say, well, preacher, you don't know what I'd have to give up. No, I don't know what you'd have to give up, but I know what God give you. Amen? I know what He'll give you. He'll take some old bad habits away. Amen? He'll convict you of those old bad habits. He'll take them away, and He'll give you new habits. Amen? The drink that you have now, praise God, He'll get you to drinking from a different fountain. Amen? He'll begin to help you, praise God. And you can begin to enjoy being nigh to Him now. I think I don't know why we've got it in our minds that we can't enjoy the things of the Lord now. We don't try to draw close to Him so that He can draw close to us. It seems like in the world we're living in today. I mean, people used to get in. I mean, in a parking lot, they'd be praising the Lord. And they'd just usher Him right on in the house of God, and He'd be in there singing, and people would get stirred up, and they'd begin to praise the Lord. Hey, the old man of God, he just got to join in. Amen? But we're living in a day and a time, and we think, well, you know, we can't enjoy those things now. People say, well, you know, preacher, that was in the past. No, that's the same today. He said if we draw nigh to Him, He'll draw nigh to us. And He said we can enjoy these things today. He said, but now in Christ Jesus, you were sometimes afar off are made nigh. Amen. So He said we can enjoy it right now if we want to. But I think our want to's messed up. We want to do everything in the world and we want to be everywhere in the world, but we don't want to get close to God. Amen. We desire peace and happiness. We desire joy. Praise God. But we want to stay afar off and not draw nigh. But He said the joy's already there. Amen. He said because if you're in the Lord, you've been drawn nigh. He said just come close to the Lord. So we can have that joy right now. You say, well, preacher, how can we have it now? How can we attain this all this joy now? He said, hey, it's already been given. He said, it's by the blood of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All we got to do is just plead the blood. Just say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for that blood that you shed so that I've got the victory. There's victory in Jesus, praise God. That sacrifice they made for us, that penalty paid for us, that love that He showed for us. Amen. It makes all the difference. Look at Hebrews chapter 2. Let me just give you a couple of verses here and we'll go to house. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. He said, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Amen? He said Jesus Christ, because of his love for us, took upon himself the transgressions of the world so that he could whip the devil and deliver us from sin. He said Jesus Christ himself, praise God, has destroyed the devil. He's taken the power of death away. What are you saying, Patrick? I'm saying we don't have to worry about dying no more. Amen. If we're sealed in the precious blood of Jesus, praise God, we've been made death-proof. We'll live forevermore. You say, well, preacher, you mean they'll never roll a casket up here with my carcass in it? They may do it, but that's all it'll be. They'll just be an old carcass. Amen. The body goes back to the dust from which it come. Ecclesiastes 12 and 7. But the spirit goes back to God who gave it.
Amen.
Amen. By the time that life's breath leaves your body, praise God, you'll be in the presence of the Lord. Amen. But he says, praise God, because of what Jesus done, and we can have joy today because death has been removed. That death debt. Amen. That price of sin has been gone. It's gone. Not to be remembered no more. Amen. All those sins that we've lived with, all those sins that we've been afraid of. He says, goes on verse 15, that we've been put in bondage by, have been taken away. He said, so now, it's not when we get to heaven, oh, we'll do some shouting and praise, brother, then we get the glory. Amen. We'll have us a time over in glory. Amen, Brother Bill, when we get over there and get down by the river, praise the Lord, I'm going to, hey, I hope we can sit down and praise God for about a thousand years while we wet in the hook. Amen. I like to fish. Praise God, God said that one of these days, praise God, that we're going to come back. Jesus is going to say, hey, young'uns, are you ready to go back? And we're going to sell out of there, praise God. We're going to come back down here. He's going to rule and reign for a thousand years. And when his feet touch on Mount Zion, praise God, where he went up, he's going to come back just like he went up. And when his feet hit, she's going to cleave in the midst. And that Dead Sea that's drying up. It's drying up. Amen. The Dead Sea, now the Dead Sea, it amazes me. All the tributaries of the Jordan River flow into the Jordan River. The Jordan River, now listen to me, it flows into the Dead Sea. Are you following? The Dead Sea has no outlet, nowhere for all that water to go. But yet it's drying up in an astronomical number. When I was over there, whenever I was over there, 9 years ago, 10 years ago, 11 years ago, 11 years ago, they'd built a hotel on the Dead Sea, amen, and they had built it right on the edge of the Dead Sea, so that people go out there and they get in the water because those waters are therapeutic. I mean, if you can't swim, the waters, they so much salt in the Dead Sea that if you can't swim a lick, I can't swim. I could go out there and lay in that, and I could float. I'd just bob like a bobber. Even my little old skinny legs would float. Amen? See, that's my problem. My legs are so skinny, there ain't no meat on that. My top part would float, but my legs just go, and I sink. Even when I was over 11 years ago, from the hotel that was on the shores of the Dead Sea, it was we had to walk way out there in order to get to the shores. But now they say that same hotel, that they have to take a bus and a shuttle and shuttle them out there to the edge of the water. Amen. It's the Dead Seas are drying up. Why? Because God Almighty is preparing it for a glorious day of His appearing. Amen. When they'll cleave in the midst. And that water's the water from the throne of grace is gonna flow down through there. And everything that it touches, amen, in the shores of En-Gedi, praise God, is gonna be alive, praise God. And the Bible says, Brother Bill, that we'll set on those shores of En-Gedi. Now, when I was over there from the shores of En-Gedi, it was a mile and a half to the water. I mean, you could look out across there and you could see it way over there. I mean, it was a long ways. I mean, just as far as you could see. But he says one of these days that we're going to be able to sit on the shores of En-Gedi and we're going to be able to catch fishes. I know that's not proper English. Going to catch fish. Amen. Like those that's in the Mediterranean Sea. Amen. Praise God. Why? Because God's going to take and make it alive again. Because when He comes, He's going to give life and life in abundance. Amen. But He said, praise God, He said, hey, He said, I've already given that. He said, I've taken away death that I might give life. Amen. And that it might be a life in abundance. Praise the Lord. Ain't you glad of that today? Amen. Look at verse 9, in chapter 9, let me for just a minute, and we'll go to house. Chapter 9, verse 12. He said, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once unto the holy place, having obtained, now listen to this, eternal redemption for us. Amen. So He said, hey, I took away death. He said, I've done away with death. You don't have to worry about death. Don't have to worry about it no more. Just trust the Lord Jesus Christ. And He said that he went in one time. He offered Himself, His precious blood, He shed as a perfect sacrifice in the holy place, the holy of holies, having obtained eternal redemption for us. He said that obtained, that means to take possession of. He said, I entered in, said, you don't have to, if you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, He said, you don't have to worry about death no more. And He said, you can have everlasting life. It's already been paid for. Amen. It's been obtained. It's been purchased. It's been got for you. It's been obtained for you. Amen. He said, I've got hold of it for you. Praise the Lord. And He said, we can enjoy that now. He said, right now, in Jesus Christ, who sometimes were far off, but are made nigh by the blood of Christ. He said, hey, we can enjoy this right now. So we can say, hey, look, Lord, look at me now. I'm not that man that I used to be. But not only that, but we can look at the world and we can say, look, world, I'm not that man I used to be. Look at me now. But you know the one that I like best, Brother Dean? The one I like the best is when the old devil gets to beating me, to fighting me sore. I can look at the devil and say, hey, devil, look at me now. I'm not that man I used to be. I don't follow you no more. You're not the Lord of my life no more. You have no authority over me no more. I've been set free by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Those that had no hope were brought into hope. He said, at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But, look at me now. Look at me now.